Thank you, and welcome to our hometown of New Orleans. Glad you're here. Hope you have a good time while you're here. It's my honor today to introduce to you Congressman Charles W. Bustani, Jr. He was born and raised in Lafayette, Louisiana, and received his bachelor's degree from the University of Southwestern Louisiana, now known as the University of Louisiana Lafayette, in 1978. He completed medical school at Louisiana State University Medical Center here in New Orleans in 1982 and returned to Lafayette to begin his medical practice, which he operated for 14 years, providing the highest quality healthcare service to his patients and to his community. He was first elected to Congress in 2004, representing Louisiana's 3rd Congressional District. He currently serves as a senior member of the House Ways and Means Committee and is chairman on the Subcommittee of Oversight, where he works to eliminate waste, fraud, and mismanagement of government programs, including Medicare, Medicaid, and the Internal Revenue Service. He additionally serves on the Ways and Means Committees for Trade and Human Resources. Throughout his experience in Congress, he's championed healthcare reform, international trade, and energy policies. In healthcare, through his experience as a cardiovascular surgeon for over 30 years, he understands the importance of healthcare and has worked to keep healthcare policies focused on quality care while maintaining the importance of the patient-doctor relationship, as he views that relationship as the most critical component of healthcare. He's worked for increased access and expansion of health savings accounts. He's done this as he sees these accounts as an opportunity for individuals to better control their health care coverage and decisions. In international trade, Congressman Bustani has worked to increase opportunities for U.S. companies with products to compete more efficiently in both foreign and domestic markets. He hopes to increase demand for goods and services worldwide for our industries. In the energy world, as much of America's energy flows through South Louisiana, he maintains a constant watch on opportunities involving natural gas and liquefied natural gas exploration. He continues to support onshore and offshore drilling for oil and gas production and sees increased production as a way for America to reduce its dependency on oil imports. While maintaining all of the above focuses, Congressman Bustani has also been a strong supporter of job creation opportunities and the new market tax credit programs. I've often looked to reach out to our Louisiana congressional delegation to find support for the new market tax credit program with extensions and expansions of the program. What I've always found is Congressman Bustani has always signed up for the program before I've ever had an opportunity to reach out for him. He truly is a leader in this program and a supporter of this program. Congressman Bustani and his wife, Bridget, reside in Lafayette, have 2 adult grown children. He served Louisiana well for the past 12 years in Congress and is now seeking election to the U.S. Senate in the current 2016 election race. Ladies and gentlemen, Congressman Charles Bustani.
Is my mic going on? Can you hear me? Great. Good morning. Hope you're enjoying a lot of amenities, so I hope you enjoy it. Stan, you just got started yesterday with the conference, so one night of sleep you can kind of deal with. I suppose let's go with this one. Is this better? Oh, yeah, that's a lot better. Okay. Let me say, first of all, it's an honor to be here with you again. I think it was last year I addressed the conference. I think it was last year. But anyway, great to be with you. I currently chair the Tax Policy Subcommittee on Ways and Means. And over the course of this year, much of our efforts have been toward this pathway that Paul Ryan has laid out, a blueprint for tax reform. But keep in mind, we've been at this for a long time. Since the House took the majority back in the 2010 elections, I've worked very closely with Dave Camp, Paul Ryan, now Kevin Brady, with the top priority of the House Ways and Means Committee being fundamental tax reform. It hasn't been done since Ronald Reagan was president, culminating in the 86 Tax Reform Act. I believe it has to be a top priority to get our U.S. economy going again. course, the devil's in the details, and that's where you all are going to be watching very, very closely. I do believe that we have an opportunity possibly to do tax reform, given all the work we've done over the past years, maybe in the next Congress. But again, a lot of this is going to depend on what happens with the elections, both House and Senate and the presidential election. And keep in mind, with regard to tax reform, Congress can do a lot of work. A lot of it can be driven by the work done on the Ways and Means Committee and the Senate Finance Committee. But unless you have a willing partner with the president and the executive branch, it won't happen. James Baker had a conversation with some of us who were trying to drive this a few years ago, and he pointed out that, guys, you're doing a good job. But if President Obama and his people don't want to go forward with this and they're not a willing partner, you're not going to get it done. That's the one lesson that came out of 1986, that you have to have presidential leadership for this actually to truly happen. But I do believe we need to make it a priority, and it won't happen unless Congress drives it. So stay tuned. One of the things I've been working on, and I want to cover a few things. I'm going to go over the fact that we've recently had floods here in Louisiana. We've had some disasters elsewhere around the country. I did introduce a tax package, which I'll cover in a moment. I want to talk a little bit about what we did in the PATH Act last year to get the five-year extension of the New Market Tax Credit program, and then talk a little bit about what are future prospects for all this. What does this all mean? One of the important things we learned after Hurricane Katrina and Rita was that there has to be a tax component if you're going to spur redevelopment and recovery. And that's why I introduced a tax relief bill back on September 22nd, the Louisiana Storm and Flooding Devastation Tax Relief Act. And what the bill does is, understanding what happened in New Orleans. I mean, look at the city. You got here. This city has come back from significant devastation back in 2005. And you have to give credit to our developers who put together the financial packages, the investment packages, to actually spur this development. And a lot of this was as a result of tax policy, the use of the historic tax credit, New Market Tax Credit, low-income housing tax credit, bonus depreciation. Tax policy helped drive this. And so much of what you do was vital to getting this city back not only to where it was before, but in a vibrant new position of economic growth. So what I did in the aftermath of the floods is I introduced legislation that has an enhanced low-income housing tax credit, increasing the state's ceiling allowance, and we may have to expand this to other states depending on whether this has legs that we can move forward, given what happened with Hurricane Matthew. But there's also an increase in the New Market Tax Credit allowance for 2016 and 2017 of $300 million for those investing in low-income communities hit by the floods. And for 2018, we've bumped it up to $400 million. That's in the legislation. I'm going to put a lot of effort in lame duck to see if we can get this moving, and hopefully we can pick up some allies in other parts of the country that were hit and maybe pass this and get this done before end of year. I'm hopeful that the prospects are going to be bright and lame duck, but again, this is going to depend on the outcome of these elections. There's so many variables in all of this. I wish I could predict it. I can tell you the one thing I can predict is I'm going to put a lot of energy into this to try to make it happen. We have a shot at it. I think other states have been hit, obviously, on the East Coast, and Florida in particular, further up the East Coast. If you have access to members of Congress that you work with who are going to be working on this, push the case, push the cause. Maybe we can get this done in lame duck, but we'll see what happens. With regard to the PATH Act, I was very involved with this, obviously, being chairman of the Tax Policy Subcommittee, and we pushed hard to get more permanency. I mean, if you go back a year before where we had a one-year extension, but it was mostly retroactive, this was horrible. I mean, it created no certainty with regard to the investment environment. And with the PATH Act, myself, Congressman Pat Teaberry, who's been a tremendous champion for the New Market Tax Credit, we wanted to do what we could to make this permanent. We fell a little short of that, but we got 5 years. 5 years to give you some degree of certainty with regard to investment. Now, Some of the arguments we got were, we can't make it permanent. It's going to cost too much. But let me point something out, because I predicted back then that tax revenues, even though we crafted a large tax relief package, that, we didn't pay for some of this stuff. A lot of it we didn't pay for, obviously. We don't believe we should pay for tax breaks. Well, the predictions were, we're going to have a revenue shortfall. Well, the Congressional Budget Office just came out with their new assessments of the deficit and what's going on with revenue. Revenue did not fall. The deficit went up a little bit, but it went up because of increased spending. But tax revenues stayed steady, even though we crafted a big tax relief package. And that's a pretty good argument to me that we were right about this. Let's put tax policy in there that spurs investment, which is what you do. You know, it's rare in my mind that you can come up with policy in Washington and actually see the benefits immediately. Oftentimes there's this big disconnect. You do this grand policy and you think, this is wonderful, it's going to change things, and then you don't see much of an impact. Well, the combination of new market tax credits with historic tax credits, low-income housing tax credits, you actually, as a policymaker, see the real impact of this. I mean, I've been all over New Orleans and seen the development projects. But not only that, think about the rural communities. Rural communities across this country that have old historic properties that are ripe for development. How are we going to see a renewal, a revitalization of the American economy unless we do that kind of investment? I see this, we talk about infrastructure investment, roads, bridges, that kind of stuff. This is a form of infrastructure development that links up with the human capital, that helps bring our economy forward. That's why it's so important. And we get to see the immediate impact. I mean, this is immediate impact. So I want to thank you for what you do. And I want you to know that you have partners in Congress, myself, Congressman Teaberry, but also we have a lot of bipartisan support for this. And there was a lot of bipartisan support to make it permanent. What are we going to do going forward? Well, clearly, we got that five-year certainty in place. That's not enough. And the pathway to what happens beyond 2019 remains a little unclear today, to be honest with you. I don't know where we're going to go with this. Obviously, the drive is to do tax reform, and how ambitious tax reform becomes, what kind of major changes, do we depart from the income tax system to a more consumption tax base? I don't know what the answers are yet. We're having a lot of conversations about that. I mean, this blueprint that's put out there is still very general. I encourage you to weigh in. Weigh in with your members of Congress and the senators that you know to continue to press how important this is and how important it should be to be included in any new tax package that we put out there. The blueprint that we laid out for tax reform is a starting point of that conversation. Now, we tried a couple of different ways to do this. One, with Dave Camp, we actually crafted actual tax legislation. You all know the firestorm that started with it. And that effort was basically shut down by leadership. They didn't have the appetite to do it at that point in time. Now we've started with a more general blueprint. It's vital, really vital, that you give us the input as we start to fill in the legislative detail in this. And that's where your advocacy is going to be really, really important. I think, I don't know which direction tax reform will take ultimately, how ambitious it goes, or how scaled back it might be. I don't know what the predictions are going to be with the presidential election outcome and what kind of willing partner we'll have for tax reform after the elections. We don't even know what the outcome of the Senate and House races will be. All those things are going to affect this, but you need to continue to weigh in and help us and to make the case. I believe we need to keep our focus on tax reform. I believe the American economy needs it. I believe with Paul Ryan as Speaker and all the work that's been put in so far, I think it will be, provided he remains a Speaker of the House, that he will put an emphasis on doing tax reform. I do believe fundamentally we need to lower rates and simplify the tax code. But what does simplification mean? That's the big question. How far do you go in starting to eliminate deductions and credits? And I think one of the things I've tried to keep in mind as we look at that is, all right, what's the purpose of a credit? What does it achieve? How broad is the impact? What does it do to grow the economy? And how, and when we look at that economic growth, how deep does it go? And I think that's where the value of the new market tax credit, historic tax credit, and low-income housing tax credit come in. Because it does grow the economy, and it grows it with very deep roots. It grows it with deep roots. It's not a superficial growth. It doesn't benefit just some on the top. It helps every community. And that's why we have to fight for this and ensure that we maintain this in any tax reform package that happens. Now, getting to the politics just briefly of tax reform, the Ways and Means Committee, of which I've been a participant for the last 8 years and one of the leaders, has really worked hard to drive an effort for tax reform. I want to commend Chairman Camp, who's now in the private sector, for the work he did to really almost single-handedly start a national conversation. It's continued with Speaker Ryan and now Chairman Brady. We have worked hard to drive this debate. We know in the presidential debates that have occurred, there has been substantive discussion, at least at a high level, on tax reform, and we need to understand better what ultimately the next president will do. But I'm glad that we were able to at least start that conversation and push it forward. We want you to be a part of that conversation. But I also believe that as we've gone through this from the standpoint of the House of Representatives with the Ways and Means Committee leading it, we have not seen as much activity in the U.S. Senate on this. And it's my understanding it's hard to pin a senator down with regard to what is their position on a particular tax provision, what is their actual view on how ambitious to be with regard to tax reform. This is another area where I think you can be of help and help us try to push that cause to get the right kind of tax reform. And I can tell you, one of the things I'm hoping to do, if things work out with the election for me, and I do become Louisiana's next United States Senator, is we will be able to bridge that gap that's existed between House and Senate. There's not been the best of communication between the two chambers. And we need action-oriented people in the Senate who are going to also advocate and have ties back to the Ways and Means Committee. So I'm hopeful that I can play that role going forward. But we're going to need your help. I want you to know in closing, I'm committed to keeping these tax credits in place, period. I think they're vital. And so I look forward to partnering with all of you as we make that a reality. And so thank you very much. Brad says we have time for questions, so I'm happy to entertain any questions you all may have. Oh, I couldn't have covered everything. Okay. Oh, yeah, I got glaring. Yeah, yes. No question about it. And there are definitely others. I think you can break it down. You have members who are very well aware of the impact of new market tax credits. They've co-sponsored bills. You know the ones who have not co-sponsored bills and or have not spoken out about this. They either don't know the importance of it or they may be ideologically opposed to it. You need to help work through that list and share information with us. A lot of times, you know, when a bill is going forward, there's a more formal whipping process to see where members are. But typically, that doesn't happen until there's an actual bill. Sometimes when things are sort of in concept or more nebulous, getting feedback directly from industry, you know, helps us understand where a member is, and then we can share notes to find out which buttons to push to try to drive it. And I've noted that that really helps. And so in light of the recent flooding, you may have more allies now who have had areas affected that previously really didn't think much about new market tax credits, or maybe they were opposed to it for some reason or another. I think it's important for you to reach out and share that information with members of Congress that you know are allies, such as myself and Congressman Teaberry. And there are, you know, friends on the Democratic side. I believe Richie Neal, who is my counterpart, the ranking member on the Tax Policy Subcommittee. Richie and I have talked about these things. I think, you know, we've got bipartisan support for this. We have to educate the other members. And also keep in mind in the House, we have a lot of new members, a lot of people who are on their first or second terms. They don't know everything that's out there. They don't understand the connection between certain tax policy and how it affects their own communities. So you have to educate them. And my final piece of advice on this is don't just do it as a one-off visit to Washington. In your hometown or in that congressional district, develop a relationship with their local staff. Develop a relationship, maybe have lunch or something with that member of Congress where you can spend more time with them rather than a 30-minute block when they're rushed and they got 15 things going on. Develop a relationship with their tax policy advisor or their legislative director, because those individuals, they really have an impact. They have an effect on what a member is going to do. They provide information, and you want to make sure that they're fully informed. Those key staff people are informed. That's how to be more effective in your advocacy. Other questions? Help me out here, because there's a glare. I can't. Yes, sir. The question is there an appetite to increase the size of these allocations and rewards? For some of us, yes. I mean, obviously, what I'm trying to do is bump this up to deal with the emergency situation. I think we need to get, as we look at this, I would be open to doing it because I see needs in my state, clearly. I think we need to, you know, make the case more broadly to those who may not be of the same mind. So having really good information that matches the demand, matches the need with the allocation is something that you all in the industry can provide to us. That would be very helpful. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay. Stand up if you don't mind, because I have the lights in my face and I just can't see who. Oh, yes, ma'am. I can't hear you. The question is, what are the objections to the program? And I think it depends on who you talk to. There are some conservatives who believe that this is a distortion in the tax code, for instance, and that they may call it crony capitalism. They may say it's directed, and tax policy should not be, you know, directed that, to a specific industry or effort. It should be sort of a broad application of tax policy. It's a kind of a purist view. There are some who were, you know, maybe on the left who would say, no, we don't want to provide, tax credits because that's money that, because it's a credit, that's money not coming into the Treasury. Those are the kinds of arguments I believe that you hear, by and large. But I think what we're dealing with, particularly on the Republican side, is this idea of tax code simplification, and there's some who would just say, I would eliminate every single deduction and credit, including things that are kind of sacrosanct, like the mortgage interest deduction. But I think you have to be more thoughtful in how you look at these things and get back to what I said earlier. What is the economic impact? How broad is the economic impact, but how deep does that economic impact go in communities? That's why I support the new market tax credits. I think it meets that criteria for me. But you have to help us make that argument to some of our colleagues. We can't do that alone. Anyone else?
Has it been assigned an HB number yet?
I'm sorry, what's that?
Has it been assigned an HB number yet?
My bill?
Yeah.
Yeah, let me see if I have it here. It has been. It was introduced. I think I have the, let's see.
We're going to cover it in the next panel. That was a great segue.
Well, there you go. Perfect. Okay. I apologize. I don't have the bill designation, but if we have it, that's great. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you. All right. Yep.